What is your distance? What is the running length you feel comfortable with? And how does that compare to the rest of those runners out there? Oh, and what can you learn from that?
Welcome to Hypno Running, the show where we do more than just talk about running. We help you find solutions to develop your full potential, making you a better, faster, and smarter runner. And here is your host, Heiko.
Yes, thank you for joining us on another Advanced Endurance Coaching Podcast, the show where we help you become a better, a smarter runner, isn't it? How do we do that? Well, we talk about things that really matter. What? Oh, what? Running shoes? Oh, the newest running shoes means, Heiko, you have the newest running shoes? Oh, you know about what are the best shoes that are going to make me go faster? Yep, definitely not talking about those running shoes. Yeah, they might help you go faster, but if your brain isn't going to help you get up from the sofa and head out into that rainy, cold weather and go for a run, those running shoes are going to do you no good whatsoever. So here we talk about developing your attitude, how to develop your self-determination, how to develop your self-confidence in such a way that you become the best runner you can be. And anyway, it's season four. It's slowly coming to an end, and we tend to put a wrap on our running year. It's time to step back and see what we did, what we achieved. I mean, you want to have something to show for all those hours you spent away from that comfortable sofa and all that money you've invested in those running shoes. And other things you could have been doing. Not only that, looking at your running distance is going to give you some insight into what could have been and what should have been. And you see, only by reflecting will we see the blind spots. And too often we move from one year to the next year without really taking time to reflect on the good runs. That's usually easy. The bad ones, ouch. And I found some interesting statistics. Now, the average running workout was a bit longer. Apparently, it was 50 minutes and it went up to 51 minutes. And apparently, we all ran significantly further. 7.7 kilometers compared to 7.6. So the average running workout distance, 7.7 and 5120, means we did some serious training. And how do I get these numbers? There's a lot of statistics out there. It is from Polar, it's from Garmin, it's from Strava. I looked at these summaries, and this is basically the summary I'm giving you out of all those figures. And I'm sure these iPhones and smartphones and smart watches that we have, they follow every move. I'm pretty sure they are accurate. So keeping goals in sight seems to have been a major motivating factor for runners, because these improvements going further and going longer, it just doesn't come about suddenly, does it? According to Polar, we ran more marathons. More than 800 marathons are organized every year. I'm sure there must be many more. And usually people only think about the six title, you know, the world marathon majors, the Tokyo, Boston, London, Berlin, Chicago, New York. Let me tell you, you know, they're fantastic other marathons you can run where you're going to maybe get a top 10 position because, you know, maybe elite runners aren't running them. There might be some local races, some faraway places you don't even know yet where you can do a marathon. I did a couple in this year, and I'm so thankful I did. I met wonderful people, and I had a wonderful run experience. Now, apparently, 1.1 million runners complete a marathon, which is 0.01% of the world's population. And where speed is concerned, there's a clear shift that Europe tends to feature some of the faster marathons in the world. I don't know, maybe this has also got something to do with the prize money, no? Now, according to Polar, again, 35% more marathons were run than the previous year, and Strava runners logged 2.4 billion miles. Wow. So there was a 38% year-over-year increase in logged activities. And the 95 million athletes in the Strava community, 2 million are joining each month. This is amazing to me. And the athletes logged 1.8 billion activities, 20 billion miles, and they shared 9.6 billion kudos. Honestly, I've never shared kudos with anyone. Am I a bad person? I haven't got the hang of that at all. Okay, another interesting fact came up that across all age groups and region, one thing was similar. People started walking more. So there was more walking activity registered. Now, I'm not sure if this is not just maybe because the phones and the watches that we wear, they can track if you're doing 10,000 steps, if they use that figure, or if it is really somebody setting his app to, I'm going for a walk now. But either way, or it might be the remote work, you know, that people are midday, they're going for a walk break. So it means people are more active. And if 16% of people are more active, that means 16% of people have found more reasons to take away time to invest in their health, which is absolutely fantastic. If you didn't walk much, make that a goal as well. Don't think like, oh, well, but I'm running already. What? No, no, just enter it. Just set yourself a goal for 2024, what you're going to be walking, because if you're injured, if you're not feeling well, you can always go for a 4K walk, a 6K walk. Wonderful idea, rather than doing nothing at all. Now, newer runners, they didn't just set goals, they actually achieved them. When comparing year-to-year data, nearly 2 times the number of new athletes scored a personal best, and that was between the 5K and 50K difference. Now, the platform only counts a PR if you run the distance at least twice. So it might be you had a different PR somewhere else. But anyway, it's still an amazing feature. Because, see, if you're not only if you're a new runner, also if you're an experienced runner, anything to do, as soon as you set a goal to it, it becomes much more specific and it's going to trigger a behavior. So having a clear, very precise goal, it's going to mobilize your focus and it's going to make you actionable. It's going to make you actionable how you behave. And that goal setting will then reveal that intrinsic motivation that you may be waiting for. That goal, it guides your focus. Okay, I've got to set a PR on the same distance I ran before, on the same route. And when you set a goal, you naturally direct your attention towards a next step. And as a result, you lead yourself in the right direction, which forces your action, your behavior to follow. So suddenly it becomes a priority. That's why this data, this Strava, this logging your miles, this analyzing and reflecting on it makes sense if you have a goal. The goals align your focus. And goal setting helps you align your focus with your behavior because you get a feedback of your progress. The actions you take or you don't take, they offer clues about your values, about your belief systems. What do you really believe in? How do you challenge yourself? What are your strengths? Hey, my strengths are running up hills. My weakness is strength training, and which allows you to correct that without falling into a big hole, big ups and downs and whatever. No, you can correct that as necessary and reset your goal as well. And for many of us, chasing a goal is easier done when in a group, especially if it's a big, challenging goal that you have ahead of you. Apparently, nearly 200,000 new clubs were formed in Strava. Wow. And the membership in the club grew by 37%. So, of course, not only do they share a common goal, they also want to complete that big ultra marathon, that 10K, that fastest 5K, whatever. But you're not training on your own, which can be soul-destroying, you know, especially these dark, cold winter nights. And where you're struggling just to get out of the door and you're like, oh, I wish it was over already. But if you're there with other people, you're not going to feel so alone. There's some safety in numbers, but also there is the benefit of the camaraderie. And training with company also makes you more accountable. You know, if you're going to meet your training buddy, you're not going to make him wait in the winter and in the cold weather, are you? You're going to show up, definitely. So consequently, the group challenges, even online, they make a big difference in motivation. You want to have that time pop up there as well. You don't want to be the one who didn't show up, even if it's just online. Okay. So where are you going to recommend, what are you going to recommend to someone, perhaps someone who wants to rekindle their lost love affair with running? Or till now, you're not keen on setting a long race goal. Fine, maybe. Same answer to both of you, work on your 5K. You know, the 5K, it has a reputation for being a race distance for beginners. And it's not necessarily true. It's not just a fun run. Usually they're called fun runs, but it's actually not. It's a distance that requires immense strength and speed if you do it correctly. And if you've heard of Sir Mo Farah, he runs it in under 13 minutes. There you go. How about that? In under 13 minutes. 1:03. Not 3:0 like you were maybe just thinking like, oh, well, 30 minutes, I can do it under 30 minutes. 13. So if you're returning to running and you're taking your first steps, that 5K is going to be a tremendous benefit to you. It's going to be a stepping stone. It might open up the world to you again, how quickly you are able to progress to a 10K or to a marathon, because you're going to need to build strength. You're going to need to build speed. And the 5K, that's the perfect distance for that. And you need to start competing rather than thinking of achieving a fantastic time. You know, the marathon is something you can think about completing. I want to finish it in under 4. That's fine. I would prefer a goal of finishing it in 3:50, for example. 3:45, that's a lot more specific. 3:20, if it's a fast course. But if you look at the marathon, I want to complete it, it's fine. With the 5K, you need to compete. You need to set a goal. It's shorter training times. It's not going to take you as long to compete as other distances, obviously. But if you're not yet active enough, you need to exercise regularly again. You need to build up that routine. And definitely you're going to need about 6 to 8 weeks preparation. And then you're going to be able to compete on a 5K run. And once you've completed a very fast 5K, you're going to feel comfortable going for the 10K the next distance. All of a sudden, you understand that the 10K requires the speed and strength of a race that is similar to a 5K, but you need to be able to pace yourself. Wow, suddenly that interest will be coming back. And you know, that will help you build up mentally towards whatever your next big goal is. And the big goal is the marathon, you know, culmination of months of training, maximum preparation, driving your body and all that. And the 5K and the 10K, how you start out with them, that is going to be decisive on how soon you can be able to go on your journey of the 42K. And the marathon requires a different level of training. You need that time to build the mileage. You need to set yourself many targets, 20 miles a week maybe. You need to hit that for several months. You need to stay healthy. Okay, maybe fine. You just want to go for the half marathon. So if running for the first time seems that marathon seems out of reach for you right now at this point of your life, go for the half marathon. No worries at all. But running is that liberating activity. Just requires a pair of running shoes and the determination to go. Reflect on what you have done in the past year. Reflect on where you did well, where you didn't improve, where you didn't even maybe show up. Wow, maybe, you know, how regretful are you going to be that you didn't take part in that race, which was just half an hour from your home, or that hometown race? What a pity if you didn't. But now's the time to reflect, look at it, set goals again, start humbly from the beginning, give your body time to rest. And if you have no goal that came in mind now after listening to me for the past 10 minutes, you know what? Do something for charity. Don't do it for yourself. Do something for others. How about that? You know, most charities that organize a marathon, they're going to provide you plenty of support. That means during, after the event, they're going to give you training plans. They're going to give you fundraising tips. And it's going to be something you're going to be proud of, doing something for others. And you'll also get help with, you know, with the whole thing about how the money comes in and how the money gets transferred. That's very simple these days. It's all done online. Don't worry about that. And it'll put a limelight, it'll put a spotlight on the organization that you're trying to sponsor, that you're trying to help. Now, that's a fantastic, good cause. I want to finish off here with a wonderful verse from the Bible. Do not grow weary in doing good. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. There you go. Don't give up. My name is Heiko. Thanks for listening. God bless you. And remember, take it easy.